This April the 30th picks edition of the MLB Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play their fantasy pick'em for a chance to win 100x in NBA, MLB, MMA, NHL, golf and more. Sign up today at Underdog Fantasy. Use the promo code MLBSGPN to get a 100% deposit match. Welcome, everybody, to the MLB Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. My name is Malcolm Bamford, coming to you from Newcastle upon Tyne in the northeast of England. Today is Monday, April the 29th, and we are here to have a look over a full slate of 15 games for Tuesday, April the 30th. We did remember to press record, Joe. Don't panic. Me and Lonte had a little 7 minutes talking to ourselves last night, Scott, because I forgot to press the button. So we went again. Joining me is Mr. Scott Reichel. Scott, how are you doing?
Yeah, doing pretty well. I'm looking forward to breaking down some of the games. I didn't know about that when I was editing the show last night. So apologies that 7 minutes of footage was lost in apparently StreamYard.
No, that was the whole point. I hadn't pressed record.
No, I know. You didn't hit the button, so I'm saying we didn't get any of that because
me and Lonte talking to ourselves. And then, like the professionals we are, had to pretend that everything we said to each other for the first 7 minutes the second time was all shiny, brand new information when we just talked about it once. But there you go. At least we remembered, because it could have very easily happened 48 minutes in, and that would have been a disaster. I wouldn't have been thrilled about that at all. It was getting on for my bedtime as it was.
On the longest you've gone on a show before remembering to hit the record button?
I think that was it last night. Me and Dylan did a few minutes earlier in the year, and then me and Lonte got 7.5 minutes in last night. It was when no one was responding in the live chat to stuff we were, and I thought, what's going on here? And then I didn't see the big red live button flashing. Tonight's always a bit of a weird one. I feel like the Tuesday night show is a weird one, especially when there's been no days ball, because myself and Lonte sort of looked at the opening games of this series, and then there's been no baseball since. So we're kind of in the same boat. So we're looking at game two. So we're looking at pitching matchups, having really established last night, myself and Lonte, what we thought of the two teams involved, the offences, what kind of form they were in, what we're going to expect in this week. But obviously, we have a new voice in Scott to give us his thoughts on that angle as well. What was happening over the weekend, Scott? Successful weekend, baseball, basketball, tennis. What's been your priority?
Well, mostly basketball and tennis at this point in time, but also hockey. You got playoffs going on. Pretty insane weekend. The White Sox swept the series. Break up the White Sox, winning a couple games in a row there. Good for them. I know that the Astros and the Rockies went to Mexico. Only one of those teams showed up because, despite the record, we know Houston is much better than Colorado, but Colorado still a really bad baseball team. Either way, though, it's pretty fun two-game set. The games were not that close. I mean, not a surprise, but point is, though, definitely some fun things to happen over the weekend. The Yankees scored double-digit runs back-to-back days against Milwaukee, which was nice, but yeah, the White Sox swept the series, so that's kind of the main breaking news story, because I don't think many people saw that happening.
Yeah, well, I wasn't thrilled about that. That knocked out one of my lives in the survivor pool because I took Tampa Bay. Basically, everyone takes whoever the White Sox are playing that week. And if they do get caught, get a little heater going, which they did, that caught me out. That Mexico City stadium, or indeed just the city, it's 2,000 feet, I think. That sounds like a lot. 2,000 feet above Colorado Stadium.
Yeah.
That's really quite high, isn't it?
Well, that's why the total was 17, because every pop-up turned into a home run. So that's why it was... Yep. I believe both games did go under, though, because Colorado offensively so bad they just didn't contribute enough. But Houston was fine. Tucker homered in both games. I know that Alvarez had 2 home runs in game one. I think he went hitless in game two, I think. But, yeah, the Astros kind of dominated. The Rockies, doesn't matter where they're playing. Mexico, Colorado, any other ballpark, they're bad at baseball, just simply put. So,
myself and Nante mentioned last night about the sheer weight of runs that was scored over the weekend. There were several teams hit double digits, some more than once. But yeah, should be a good week, and looking forward to getting into these game two. TVDBJ was first in the chat. Joe Hall has joined us as well. Callum, how are you doing, Callum? Callum's loyalty card is absolutely full as a jug. Matty DM and Randy is no longer his alter ego. Randy's just Randy this week, which is good. He must be back home from his conference or whatever he was doing. Right, okay, so we've got 15 games. There's no baseball again tomorrow. This is making my teeth itch. What am I supposed to do? Have these people ever considered me? Does the commissioner ever thought, oh, hang on a minute, what about Malcolm? Let's stick something on at 1 in the afternoon. Because it's a 6:35 Eastern start tomorrow. And we've got, I reckon, 11 games on the board. Obviously, with the lack of baseball, some of the odds, it's still coming through. There's more and more lines coming through as we speak, but we will do our level best to get across as much as possible. Starting with a really good-looking series, an interesting series. I think we're going to know a lot more about the New York Yankees and the Baltimore Orioles at the conclusion of this series. This is a 6:35 Eastern first pitch. And the left-handed pitcher, Nestor Cortes, goes for the Yankees. Dean Kramer will go for Baltimore. -125, the Yankees. -105, the Orioles. I've got no totals at all, Scott, so that might have to be your job if you have seen any totals. But start us off with your New York Yankees at Baltimore tomorrow.
Yeah, so for the total, I see 9. So that's going to be a flat 9 for this game. For the sake of the matchup, though, I think I am going to go to the Yankees. They caught fire offensively. I was waiting for them to do so because they were struggling offensively over the past week. But back-to-back games of double-digit runs kind of makes me have a bit more optimism with this offense. And you're looking at the Orioles, and they were not that good over the weekend. I believe they lost the series to Oakland, I think. Shout out to Kimbrel, who still sucks, but got paid a lot of money. Point is, though, Yankees, I think, are in better form. I still don't trust Kimbrel. I'm looking at the recent form of the teams, and you can argue that both teams are obviously solid, but the Yankees have been in slightly better form because they've only lost one series this entire year. They've actually been very solid at either taking 2 out of 3 or splitting 2 out of 4 against the opposition. So I'm going to go with the Yankees here. Hopefully the offense carries over into this series, but when your offense is slumping and you wake up with two massive games back-to-back, I think that might carry over. So I'll link to the Yankees in the spot.
Okay. I've had a nice little stat last night about the Baltimore have had a much trickier schedule than the Yankees and been doing well against teams that are over 500, where the Yankees have really had it quite easy. But there was a couple of stats here that made me stop handicapping pretty quickly because I didn't feel like I needed to go any further. And the two keys to this game were Nestor Cortes's 2 road starts, in which he's gone 9 innings and given up 7 earned runs across the two. And Dean Kramer's had 2 home starts, in which he's gone 9 1/3 and given up 9 earned runs. So at home, Kramer's been poor. On the road, Cortes has been poor. And at that point, I stopped. I'm happy with an over. Both teams are very capable offensively, and both pitchers struggling. So, yeah, 9 is a little bit. That's why it's on the high side. But a flat 9's all right. Kind of brings the push into play. But, yeah, I think we'll see some runs here. So I'll take it over 9 in the Yankees at Baltimore. Second up is 6:40. Eastern first pitch. This is one of the off-the-board games. It is the Colorado Rockies at the Miami Marlins. Ryan Feltner is confirmed for the Rockies. Miami are officially TBD, but I think it's going to be good old Sixto Sanchez going here. No lines, obviously, with Sanchez yet to be confirmed. But if it is Sanchez, and I don't really care who it is, I'd just take Colorado because I don't see how Miami can win a game. Obviously, I need to see your price. I think Colorado would be dogs here. They can't make them road favourites behind Feltner. Feltner's 1-2 with a 5.68 ERA. Sixto, I kind of root for him. He was such a well thought of prospect. And then he got injured, and then he got injured, and then he got injured. And now he comes back, and he's really big and fat. And that I'm quite pleased about that. It's a nice thing to see because he's just trying. He's got a big smile on his face. So he's quite an easy guy to root for. Is 6-2. He went 2 2/3 on his reappearance last week. It was a bit shaky early on, and then settled down through, got a few batters out in sequence. So hopefully 6-2 can go well, although I would not trust it at all. And I wouldn't trust Miami to beat absolutely anybody. So without any lines, I'd take color. I mean, Miami -160 tonight. That is with Trevor Rogers going. But I mean, I still think you'll get Colorado +125, +130, something tomorrow, Scott. I would take the Rockies, I think. Just you can't back Miami.
Yeah, it's pretty tricky because both these teams are god-awful. So anytime you have to back one of these teams, you're not going to feel good about it. Just give me the team that's getting plus money, simply put. Probably going to be Colorado in this one, but I don't really have much more to add. Miami embarrassed themselves over the weekend. They got, I believe, swept against Washington, I think. They led 6-0 in one inning yesterday, and they lost. Ended up losing 12-9. So, yeah, not good. Not good at all. Now, I know Washington has been solid, at least for their own standards, so good for them. But, yeah, Miami can't win at home. Nobody goes to their games. I wouldn't go to their games either. So I'll lean to Colorado in this one. I do think even though these teams are objectively awful, do you want an over with these teams? Because Colorado can't hit, but Miami might be able to hit. I don't know. If you bet this game, go to a meeting. But I'll lean to the plus money somewhere. So give me the Rockies. But yeah, 1-800-GAMBLER. They might have coffee. They might have donuts. But you might want to try a phone call. Maybe a hotline, actually, if you try to bet this game. So I'll lean plus money. But damn, man, there are much better games available on the card.
Oh, man, I love it. Jake Brubaker joined us in the chat. And Lube Gaming as well. Chot on. Let's go, Braves, says Lube. Nice stat from TVDBJ telling us that Rockies are 1-8 straight up against teams with a record under 500. So that goes flies in the face of us wanting to take Colorado tomorrow, Scott. But
I don't want to take Colorado. I don't want to take anybody. I'm forced to pick. So just give me the plus money on a coin flip.
It's not company policy, Scott. We will pick every game.
I said I was going to do it. I didn't say I was happy about it.
7:07 Eastern first pitch. Kansas City Royals at the Toronto Blue Jays. Cole Reagans, left-handed pitcher for Kansas City. Jose Berrios will go for the Blue Jays, who are -138 at home. Kansas City +105. Have you seen the total on this one, Scott, at all?
I see 7.5.
7.5, that sounds about right. With two of the bigger name pitchers going so far. Reagans, I was pleased. I see I've got some bets on Reagans to do various things this year, most strikeouts mainly. So I was pleased that he bounced back because he had that 7 earned run start, and the start after was quite important. And he went okay last time. That was against the Blue Jays. So we've got recent form that we can go on here. He pitched 5 innings in a 2-1 home win last week against Toronto. And he hasn't given up a run on the road. 12 1/3, he's gone. And has not given up a run in his road starts. Berrios pitched in that same game. Berrios is 4-1 with a 1.23 ERA. Now, Berrios hasn't given up a run in 13 2/3 at home. So we've got a pitcher on the road who has not given up a run. We've got a pitcher at home who's not given up a run. And I'm happy to let those stats speak for themselves. Both bullpens are absolutely fine as well. I'll stick with an under 7.5, Scott. Keep it simple.
Yeah, I agree. Also, only to the Royals just based on plus money, because I do think both pitchers are pretty close in terms of, I'd say, skill. I know Barrios has been better numbers-wise, but we both love Reagans, so I think it might be a close, low-scoring game. Toronto did win the series finale at home against the Dodgers. But going through the last couple of games, including that series finale, they have scored less than 4 runs in 6 straight games. So I can't expect many runs in general in this matchup. If Toronto's not going to score, and Kansas City, I think, might get shut down by Berrios in this game as well. I like the under. I'll take the first 5 under, though. I'd rather not include the bullpens if I don't have to. So I'll take the first 5 under, probably at 4 flat, especially with Toronto's inability to score. And I'll lean to Royals money line at around plus 120. I just think it's going to be a close, low-scoring game. So if that's going to be the case, give me the plus money. I think plus 120 is a bit generous.
Yeah, just looking down this Blue Jays lineup, really, there's a little bits of green around the top. Springer, Guerrero, and then a little bit further down, Davis, Schneider. And then the rest of it's just either bang average, Turner, Varsho had a little hot streak, Danny Jansen. And then the bottom half's rubbish. Biggio, IKF, and Addison Barger, I think, that's the starting lineup for tonight. It's just so underwhelming from what really Toronto could and should be, or what they looked like being maybe the start of 2 years ago, with a really exciting lineup and lots of stuff in the farm, lots of stuff ready to go, Alek Manoah and people like that. And it's just not happened for them. And their window is closing pretty quick, I would say, Toronto. They need to shift or get off the pot. You want me?
I didn't know they had a window. They had a window?
They didn't? I think it started 2 years ago when it was, well, it was the names, wasn't it? Everyone's dad was brilliant.
I thought the window shut when they blew up that 8-run lead against Seattle at home in the playoffs. I thought that was when the window officially shut. Yeah, I believe Vlad said, you know, last year was the trailer, this will be the movie, and they haven't done anything since. Yeah. I think that's basically what happened, and Vlad's a big reason for that, because you mentioned some green around the top of the lineup. Not Vlad. Vlad's been terrible. He's batting .218. His on-base percentage is fine at .323, but yeah, ever since Vlad had a 48 home run, 111 RBI season, his numbers have gotten worse every year. He had 32 home runs, 97 RBIs in 2022 with a .274 batting average. Still fine, still solid numbers. Last year, 26 home runs, 94 RBIs, so there is a dip there. On base percentage was higher, but his average was .264. Now he's got 3 home runs in 29 games, 10 RBIs, and a .218 batting average. So yeah, Vlad was potentially trying to write checks with that he couldn't cash because his numbers have gotten worse every year. And we think this Blue Jays team's a psycho team. We never trust this team. I don't like this team. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you mentioned that the, I'd say, optimism around the franchise has kind of dwindled. I agree. I think that this team isn't really worth a damn, at least based on what the expectations were, because they haven't won a series with Vlad hasn't won a playoff series, right? They lost to Seattle, and they lost to Minnesota in whatever that was last year. So they haven't done anything, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I mean, 2 years ago, they were the big sexy pick sort of preseason, everyone, or maybe 3 years ago. And then, like you say, we've seen the trailer, and then the movie was sucked. And
They wanted to be what Baltimore is, and Baltimore overachieved what they did in the span of about 1 year. So there, I mean, Baltimore did end up losing in the playoffs to Texas, who won the World Series eventually. But I think we were expecting Toronto to have this meteoric rise like Baltimore did, and it just never happened. It just never happened. We think the manager's not very good for Toronto. The core, I don't know if it's a matter of just a lack of proper, I'd say, focus from this team, but year in, year out, it just feels like they get sidetracked.
Focus and fundamentals, and Vlad being a great example, Pierre's either completely unwilling or unable to make an adjustment. So the league adjusted to him when he was going well. And he hasn't adjusted. Every time I see Vlad, he always seems to be reaching for that pitch off the plate, sort of down and away, reaching off balance, and then shaking his head as he walks back to the dugout. That's my abiding memory of Vlad. Like, that's all I ever see him do. Try something different.
Is it the same memory that you have with Javi Baez, based on that description?
Because
you
kind of described Javi Baez. Yeah. But except Javi Baez is sort of swinging his bat around like a helicopter in all different directions. Vlad's always seems to be the same one. It's reaching for the down and away, where Javi Baez is just winging it around his head. Okay. Playoffs. You mentioned the NHL, the Stanley Cup in action. The Hockey Gambling Podcast has got all that covered, as well as the NBA podcast for the basketball stuff. Plus, it's Kentucky Derby week. That involves me on the Sports Gambling Podcast. Tune in. I think we will be on the mothership with the Wolf of Oak Lawn, Sean and Ryan, on Thursday at some point for the most exciting 2 minutes in sports. Underdog Fantasy continue to be our favourite sponsor here. Making the NBA playoffs tons more exciting. Underdog is the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Play the pick 'em game. You can pick higher or lower on stats like points, rebounds, assists, and loads more. All your entries can be NBA, or you can mix and match your sports, win up to 100 times your money. Loads of fun. Underdog is available in over 30 states, including California, Texas, and Canada, as well as Champions, which is a player versus player format in Florida. So make sure to sign up with our code MLBSGPN. Underdog, double your first deposit up to $100. Underdog Fantasy, promo code MLBSGPN. Next game is a 7:10 Eastern first pitch. The Chicago Cubs against the New York Mets. Javier Assad for the Cubbies and left-handed pitcher Sean Manaea will go for the Mets. The line's just dropped on this as we were going live to air. And can I find them? Yes. The Cubs are plus 105. The Mets behind Manaea are minus 138. I haven't seen a total. If you've got a total, Scott, give us that and then give us your handicap.
Yeah, so the total in this game I currently see is at 8 flat.
8 flat, okay. And who do you like?
So for this one, I'm going to go with the Cubs. Manaea's been serviceable, I think is the word I'll use. I think that's a pretty fair word to use for his season so far. Mets weren't exactly good over the weekend. They did end up salvaging a game against St. Louis, but they still lost the series, didn't really look good in the process. The Cubs are solid. Simply put, they were my pick to win the division. They're 17-11. They got buried by the Red Sox, actually, giving up 17 runs over the weekend in one game. But I do think Assad's fine, 2-0, 2 ERA. But Manaea's once again fine. But the Mets at 135 as the inferior team on paper. I do think the Cubs are the better team. I think the wrong team might be favored here. I'll take the Cubs. I think plus 115 is a good deal. I think it might be a bit of an overreaction to what we saw from the Cubs over the weekend. I think they'll look sharper. Give me the Cubs at plus 115.
Yeah, there's not much between these. I quite like both pitches. You never get much length out of them. Javier Assad is 2-0 with a 2 flat ERA. And Manaea is 1-1 with a 3.33 ERA. I've had my eye on Manaea for about a year and a half now, and he's been fine. He was at the Giants. Bounced around long relief. He was a follower. They mucked him about a little bit. But his metrics were always fine, Sean Manaea. And he was quite a crafty little signing for the Mets. We talked about Pete Crow Armstrong for the Cubs a couple of times. Will Burns has seen he's going back to some PCA base props, total base props. Crow Armstrong's hit really well since he come up to cover Bellinger. And his numbers have been really, really good. So I think he was a New York Met at one point as well. Did they trade him away a little while ago? I can't remember who for. Somewhere in the depths of my memory, there's a that trade sticks. But neither offense scores loads, and I do like both pitches. But I'll keep it to the first five because that's where these two pitchers are going to apply their trade. There won't be much for that game after the fifth inning. So first five under. I just think both pitchers can go along nice and steady. And we'll get a first five under.
I can get behind that, but I'll lean to just the Cubs. I just think that the line's too big for the Mets.
7:10 Eastern first pitch is the San Francisco Giants at the Boston Red Sox. Logan Webb goes for the Giants, and Cooper Criswell draws the start for the Red Sox. Minus 133 for San Francisco, plus 105 for Boston. Scott, you have a total on this at all?
Yes. The total in this game, from what I see, is set to around 8.5.
8.5. So I can't fade Webb. I don't think anyone can logically fade Webb at all. There's just no chinks in his armor. He just goes out and just performs. He's one of the most underrated pitchers in the league, I think. I think it's because he's not in a glamorous club. Certainly for me, because I don't get to see those West Coast things. So every 5 days, I kind of get down to the bottom of the list when I'm having my breakfast and see, oh, Webb went 7 innings and gave up 2 again, 1/6. It's the same every 5 days with Logan Webb. Absolutely rock solid. So anytime he's on the mound against another average team in Boston without their big-name pitcher, -133 is a solid price. But I won't be playing that here. Because I quite like Cooper Criswell. He's 1-1, 2.38 ERA. But he grades out really, really well. I had a look at some of his under the bonnet stuff, his fastball and his off-speed, both really good. He doesn't walk people. He gets batters to chase. So, again, a bit like the last game, I can see a little bit of a pitching duel here, Scott. And I would take another first five under between the Giants and the Red Sox.
Yeah, I can get behind that. I think if I was going to take the Giants, it would be first five. I do not want this bullpen whatsoever. I'd rather just take Webb. So Webb usually goes some length, probably 6 or 7. So with that being the case, I think I'd rather just take first five. At the end of the day, the Giants are a team that I don't think is very good. The Red Sox were off to a good start. A lot of their guys got injured, especially in the lineup, but they were good this weekend. Once again, they scored 17 runs in one game against the Cubs, so maybe they can keep that rolling. But it's tough to go against Webb, as you said. I probably would agree with you about the under. Maybe if you want to go for a Red Sox money line play, if you want to back the hot offense, that's an option. But I can't go against Webb. I think I'd rather just take the first five. It would not shock me if the Giants led, Webb gets pulled, and then they kind of fall apart, because the bullpen's not been good for San Francisco this season. Just give me Webb first five.
Okay. No problem with that. Pick it all, Scott. Next up, 7:40 Eastern first pitch. The Minnesota Twins at the Chicago White Sox. I feel like we've handicapped this 25 times in the last 10 days. We have Simeon Woods Richardson going for Minnesota. I haven't said that on the show, so he must be new to me. And Mike Soroka will go for the White Sox. +138, home underdogs are the White Sox. -175. Behind Woods Richardson and Minnesota. Simeon Woods Richardson has started really well. 1-0, 2.45 ERA. And like the Reagans and Berrios matchup from earlier on, we have two teams and two pitchers that played against each other last week. So he went 5 innings last week, 7 hits, 2 earned runs in a game that the Twins won 6-3. He had a good start at Detroit before that. So really nothing alarming with Woods Richardson here, especially going up against this White Sox lineup. They were better at the weekend, but that can only be a flash in the pan. I don't think they're capable of putting two series wins together. Soroka pitched in that same game as well. Similar line, 5 innings, 2 earned runs. The whole thing just looks similar. Minnesota very much had the White Sox number last week when they played them. I think it's 4-game sweep. It was definitely a 3-game sweep. Might have been a 4-game sweep. Minnesota had a really good weekend as well. They needed that week because they were really quite underwhelming before that, but they scored lots of runs last week. So I think they'd like to press home that advantage, the little bit of momentum that they've got. We've just seen this game. Minnesota won 6-3. I think that'll happen again. Minnesota run line, Scott, please.
Yeah, I'll give you a quick trivia question. Do you know which team has the longest winning streak in the league right now?
Yes, it is the White Sox.
That is incorrect. It is the Minnesota Twins.
Oh, shit. Is it? Oh,
it's the Twins. They've won 7 straight. The Twins have actually been really good recently. Second? I mean, the White Sox won 3 games. Calm down. They have to win more than that. They've won 3 games, but it feels like they've won 50. I think each White Sox win feels like 10. And you kind of just like add it out. But no, the Twins have the longest winning streak in the league. They've won 7 straight. They're above 500 again. They scored 11 plus runs in 2 straight games. Now, a big reason for that's the schedule. They had a 4-game set against the White Sox and a 3-game set against the Angels. So they basically handed you 7 free wins and they're telling you, here you go again. You get the White Sox. Give me the Twins run line in this one at about even money. Soroka, I don't think, is any good at this stage in his career. It's unfortunate because he had a lot of upside, then he got injured. But you're looking at Woods Richardson, who's been solid, 11 innings, 2.45 ERA. But it's mostly the team winning 7 straight, including a 4-game sweep against the White Sox last week. Even money, -1.5, I'll take that. I think that, once again, back in the hottest team in the league is worth something. So I'll go with the Twins.
The White Sox have the third longest winning streak. Philly have won 4 games, and then the White Sox are tucked in behind Philadelphia. Next up is the team that's helped the White Sox to that 3-game winning streak. A 7-4 Eastern first pitch for the Tampa Bay Rays at Trev's Milwaukee Brewers. All off the board, as no TBD pitcher for Tampa Bay. I think it's Tyler Alexander. Scott, you can correct me if I'm wrong. Freddie Peralta goes for the Brewers. No lines on this with the pitcher being not officially disclosed for Tampa Bay. But my pick comes straight down to Freddie Peralta against the Rays. Anyway, and it's going to be a strikeout prop. Freddie Peralta's been good, 2-0, 3.18 ERA. But I think this is a good spot for him because there's a couple of games where he hasn't struck out a load of batters. So I think maybe the books might just ease off a little bit. The books might cut him some slack and we might get a 5.5 maybe for the Peralta case. And this Tampa Bay offense is struggling a little bit, or even more than a little bit, really. I was trying to have a look at this lineup for tonight. Some of the strikeout numbers, here we go. Strikeout, yeah. All just, again, Diaz, Palacios, Harold Ramirez, Rosario, Cavallero.
Rosarena.
Rosarena's been poor, yeah. But at least he grades out with a bit more potential. You know he can do it. Some of these names, like you say, Palacios, Ramirez is flashed. Rosario had a little run together, but he's bounced around so many teams for a reason. And then we haven't seen it from Cavallero yet, particularly. So, yeah, there's plenty swing and miss in that lineup. So I'll be looking at Freddie Peralta tomorrow for some strikeouts, Scott.
Yeah, you mentioned Rosario. If you want to know how bad he is, he got traded for Noah Syndergaard. So just remember that. He was traded for Syndergaard. So, yeah, he's not very good. At this stage in his career, I'm kind of surprised he's still in the league. Yeah, I like
MLB algorithm, whatever the hell it is, whenever I go to the homepage, it really, really wants me to watch Noah Syndergaard videos. That's the first thing I get. I can't remember the last time he played a game, but I always get pictures of him with his shirt off. I'm saying I didn't search for them, Scott. But I always, it'll be like Noah Syndergaard strikes out 6 against the Reds from 2018 or something like that. So, yeah, the algorithm really wants me to watch Noah Syndergaard.
I miss Syndergaard. I mean, taking stolen base props against him was one of the highlights of my betting season last year. It was incredible. I mean, there are a couple of good options now. Rodon can't hold anybody on. Gore can't hold anybody on. I'll talk about Gore in a second, but he's abysmal at holding runners on. Syndergaard's an all-timer. The stolen bases against him were free money last year in any capacity, so I do miss Syndergaard as well. But anyway, I'm going to go with Milwaukee here. Both teams do not have great weekends by any means. Tampa had the worst weekend imagined, but only got swept by the White Sox. Milwaukee won the first game against the Yankees in extras, then they ended up getting killed in the next two games. But the Yankees are a good team. Tampa can hit. Peralta solid. But Milwaukee's bullpen's also really good. I like their bullpen quite a bit. You don't know any of the guys. They just throw out random pitchers, and they all have ERAs below 2. So I don't know how they pull it off, but Tampa's bullpen's not been good this year, simply put. So I like the Brewers in this one. Tampa is a team that I know we always have high hopes for. Based on reputation, you look at the roster, it's not very good. And I feel like at some point, the reputation has to no longer outweigh the actual talent or lack thereof in this case on the roster. What is Tampa good at? The lineup has not been good this year. The bullpen's been terrible. The rotation's okay. Is that it? Like, the rotation's fine? Is that the calling card of the team? They're just not very good.
All I would say about that is they can figure it out. They are good at that.
Oh, they always do. I'm just saying, based on what you look at when you watch them play, what are they good at? They have a pretty good rotation. After that, is that it? Is that all they have?
And there's no reason for the bullpen to be that bad. It historically isn't, and they'll be able to get there. At the moment, I agree with you, but I do think they'll get back to being competitive.
I'm saying just at the moment, based on that, I can't take Tampa against Peralta and this bullpen. No, they walk better than Tampa.
Absolutely.
So,
absolutely, Scott. Where are we going? 8:05 Eastern. Washington Nationals at the Texas Rangers. And the man you just mentioned, Mackenzie Gore, left-handed pitcher for Washington. And John Gray goes for Texas. This game is also off the board. If you've got any odds, Scott, give us those. But tell us about Mackenzie Gore tomorrow.
Yeah, Gore's been great this year, despite not being able to hold any runners on. So we'll see if that potentially changes in this one. Gray has been fine, too. Actually, he helped me cash a lock last week. I had the under in his start against Seattle, and that got there. I think I'm actually going to go with Washington. I don't see any lines, but you're assuming Texas is going to be a big favorite, just based on reputation, defending World Series champions. They're at home. Break up the Nationals. They've been really good. Simply put, I mean, they played Miami over the weekend. The offense has been great. Abrams has been solid. I saw Senzel at 2 home runs, I believe, yesterday. Team's been good. Just simply put, I know they're not exactly a winning team. I believe they're under 500 right now by one game. They're 9-6 on the road. They've been on a bit of a heater. So give me the Nationals flying under the radar. The offense has been solid. Give me the Nationals.
Completely agree with you, Scott. That was my pick. Gore has been great, and it's just hard to ignore what Gore's been doing. And it's hard to ignore the claims of the Nationals in this spot. Gray, I thought he was quite lucky last time, and there was something not quite right about his last two starts for me with John Gray. So, yeah, I've actually got Nationals first five as my pick. But, yeah, just some variation of the Nationals. And they keep winning at plus 140, plus 150 nearly every night.
Miami was minus 160 for the last couple of days, and they got their asses kicked.
Yeah, well, that was my lock from last night's show. For the Monday night games, which haven't started yet, is Washington a plus 140. I locked up a plus 140 shot because I went, no, you can't back Miami at minus 160. You shouldn't be allowed money if you intend to back Miami, I think. 8:10, Eastern first pitch, the Cleveland Guardians at the Houston Astros. Carlos Carrasco for Cleveland. And Hunter Brown goes for Houston. It is plus 125 for the Guardians. It is minus 163 for the Astros. You seen a total, Scott?
Total in this game. Sorry, just trying to find it. Do I see a total in this game? I see 9 or 9.5.
Yeah, and I think it's high for a reason, really. Carrasco 1-2, 4.63 ERA. He was eventually got at last week after quite a good start of the season. We said Carrasco's. He was one of the catalysts behind Cleveland going along so well to open the year. But we were kind of waiting for it. We were waiting for him to get hit. And then it happened last week. And I'm worried for him here. Not convinced at all by him. This is a big week for Houston. Houston got a nice little boost at the weekend. They go down to Mexico City. They get the Rockies. They beat them comfortably in two games. As you said earlier on, Alvarez gets a couple of dingers. Tucker gets a couple of dingers. Valdez pitched absolutely brilliantly. So add to that the fact they've had a successful little trip and all the camaraderie and high spirits and confidence and momentum. They need to press on Houston now. If they have a bad week, because they've got a tricky... Where do they go after this? Is it Seattle, maybe? I wrote this down as well. Can't remember. They're playing someone at the weekend. They've got it's quite a big week. It's Cleveland going well. And then they've got another big series at the weekend. So, yeah, they really need to back it up. Hunter Brown's been awful. 0-4 with a 9.68 ERA. So I think this is going to be high scoring. I think the Astros offense can keep going and beat up on Carrasco. But Cleveland as well. Cleveland's been scoring runs and Brown's been giving them up. So 9 looks low. I'll take the over 9, Scott.
Yeah, I agree. Cleveland did lose the series over the weekend to Atlanta. No shame in that. They were competitive. It was in Atlanta. They lost 2 out of 3. I believe they lost the last game in extras. So I thought Cleveland kind of passed a pretty good test over the weekend. Only winning 1 out of 3 sounds bad, but for a team that you could argue is a pretender of a quotes around that because nobody thought they'd be this good, they hung in there against Atlanta. And I'm kind of impressed by that. So I'm going to take Cleveland at plus money. I do think Carrasco's not very good. I think Brown's not very good. So I'll go with the over with you because there's a couple ways to get there in this case. But give me Cleveland because if you trust this game to be close early, I definitely like Cleveland's bullpen a lot more than Houston's. So give me Cleveland for the full game at like plus 125, give or take.
Okay. Next up, 9:38 Eastern first pitch, the Philadelphia Phillies at the LA Angels. Spencer Turnbull for the Phillies, left-handed pitcher Tyler Anderson draws the start for the LA Angels. Minus 138 for the Phillies, plus 105 for the Angels, Scott.
Yeah, you're telling me the Angels are only plus 105 and they've been one of the worst teams in the league for the last week and a half? Give me Philly. That's an insane one. I understand the argument is that Anderson's actually been good this year, and I understand that he's arguably been better than Turnbull. Numbers are close, but you get the point. The Angels have been awful, and I know that they got off to a decent start. Nobody's surprised they're bad. I mean, Ron Washington walked into a buzzsaw when he took the job, but they've lost 7 of 8. Actually, no, they've lost more than that. 2, 3, 4, 5. They've lost 9 of 10. And I believe they're 3-9 at home. So if home field means nothing, and they've been atrocious for the last week and a half, why would I not just take the Phillies at a reasonable price? What are the Angels good at? They got Mike Trout. That's it. They don't have anything else. So Anderson's been fine. Do I like their bullpen? No. So give me the Phillies. I think it's a cheap number.
Joe Adele might be figuring it out, Scott, maybe.
He can't base run to save his life, but he's trying to figure it out at the plate. One of the worst base runners we've ever seen.
He's quite good at running to the base. He just forgets to stop when he gets there. It carries on going a little bit.
Yeah.
There are so many signposts to take the Phillies here. It's ridiculous. The Phillies have just won the most games in April in their franchise history, Scott. They won 19 games in April. They have never done that before. Record was 18. Turnbull's been absolutely brilliant. He walks too many batters. However, Philly have won 4 of his 5 starts. And seems to be good too. And he has faced some tricky opposition. His 2 home starts have been excellent. And he walks too many batters as well. But Philly are playing well. 9-4 on the road. And the Angels 1-9 in the last 10. Dead straightforward, Scott. I think we were on the same page pretty early on. I'll take Philly on the run line, minus 138.
I do want to throw in one thing, by the way. You said that Anderson's been very good this year. He has a 1.78 ERA. Worth mentioning, with that ERA, he's 2-3.
Yeah.
He's like modern-day DeGrom or like Felix Hernandez. Like, they just don't score any runs for him. He just loses every start. I go 6 innings, 1 run, L. They just can't help him. So even when he pitches well, they don't win his games. So, yeah, I like Philly in general.
Yeah, about 10 days ago, we said that the Angels were sort of reveling in the plucky underdog role that they'd assumed after Ohtani left, and then that's gone away pretty quick. The luster has worn off that, and they're just back to being dog shit again. 9:40, Eastern first pitch. The LA Dodgers at the Arizona Diamondbacks, and we have Landon Knack. What an incredible name that is. We'll go for the LA Dodgers in left-handed pitcher Jordan Montgomery. Draws the start for Arizona. I haven't seen any lines on this. I need some lines, Scott. What have you got?
So I see the Dodgers are slight favorites, about minus 115. So the Diamondbacks are around minus 105. For the total in this one, I see 9.5.
Okay, this is interesting. Landon Knack has had 2 starts, both against Washington. He's 1-1. With a 3.27 ERA. He's given up 4 earned runs through 11 innings, struck out 9. He looks okay. Oh, his numbers look okay, in fact. His metrics don't. They're a proper worry, actually. His hard hit rate is in the top 5%, and his exit velo is in the top 2%. So people have been hitting him hard. His fastball is well below average. He could be in trouble here, I think, against this Diamondbacks offense. Jordan Montgomery hasn't had any of the issues over the late start that the other late signing free agents have had. Everyone else has been whinging and moaning and not being able to put it together. Jordan Montgomery's just come in and pitched well. I think he's had 2 starts now. He got an easy win against the Giants and then had no run support at all against the Cards. The Diamondbacks haven't been very good, particularly, and just in general, but they've been better at home. And I think they can get to Knack here. So I wouldn't necessarily take the D-backs to win the game. just because I don't really trust them. And at any point, the Dodgers could beat up on anyone, Montgomery included. But I think an Arizona team total is well in the offing. They could get 5 or 6 runs off Nakia. So I like Arizona to score some runs, Scott.
Yeah, it's a tricky one because I really just can't stand this Arizona team. I've tried to back them. They always fail me. So at least this year they have. So I can't really be supportive. But yeah, you mentioned Nak's numbers have not been good under the hood, even though his numbers overall have been okay. Montgomery's been solid. I'll go with Arizona first 5. The Dodgers might find a way to win this game just based on their overall firepower and their ability to generate big innings. But if Montgomery can do enough to keep them in check, holding them to, let's just say, 2 or 3 runs, a reasonable showing there by the Dodgers offense, I still think Arizona can jump them early. So, yeah, I'm going to fade knick-knack paddywhack. Give me the Diamondbacks first 5 in this one.
I've got Casino Royale is on my telly, like the 1967 version, the James Bond version. And every time I glance at my telly, everyone's just shagging each other. It's an absolute outrage. I don't know what's going on.
Which one are you watching?
Casino Royale, like the 1967 version.
Also, the other day they had on A Spy Who Loved Me, the other day on TV. Okay. I was watching that one. That was also just a bunch of people having sex. So I guess that's just a common thing in the old James Bond.
But it shows what I know. This is actually a Bond film spoof starring David Niven, apparently. So it's not actually a James Bond film. That probably explains the extra shagging. I thought it did look a little bit cheesy. I thought this hasn't aged well, this film.
I only know the Austin Powers parodies. Yeah. I don't know that one.
So this is, and this is a 1967 version. But anyway, everyone's boffing everybody else. So yeah, why not? 9:40 Eastern first pitch, Pittsburgh Pirates at the Oakland Athletics. Mitch Keller goes for Pittsburgh, and we have left-handed pitcher Alex Wood going for Oakland. This is right down the bottom of the list. -150 for Pittsburgh seems a bit egregious, and +115 for the Athletics. Sorry to keep asking, Scott. You got a total on this?
Yeah, total for this game, I see 8.
Oh, I love this. Absolutely love it. I tell you what, at some point, I think we're going to have a conversation about Oakland. Because they went from sort of pre-season being a complete laughing stock, early season being quite a good fun. Oh, look at Oakland. Aren't they competitive? Do you know what? I think they might be all right. Like, long-term, all right. I'm not saying, like, they're going to win 91 games, but they could just win 71 games. They could be better than 3 or 4 teams, when really they weren't they were projected to kind of be somewhere near the White Sox, but really nowhere near anybody else. They've just won 4 of 7 against the Orioles and the Yankees. And they've got the pitching's holding it together, the bats, the averages aren't great, but they've got people scoring runs, they've got people hitting it out. They're doing stuff that some of the other teams aren't able to do. So, yeah, don't sleep on Oakland, especially before the books catch up with them, because it may be in another month, if they have a 500 month in May, and they're going to be priced up +130, +140, +150 most of the time. So I'll be a little sneaky watch of Oakland over the next few weeks. The ERAs of these two pitchers are about as far as you have to look for me here. 5.14 for Keller, 6.59 for Wood. I've got no problem factoring Oakland to score runs as well, because they do. They are scoring runs. So I think that over, did you say 8?
Yeah.
Yeah. Over 8 for me is a great bet. Yeah. Really happy with the over 8 in Pittsburgh at Oakland, Scott.
Yeah, so I'm going to go with Oakland money line in this one, just based on them getting a good price. Pittsburgh's been terrible ever since they had a good start for the first week or two of the season. I am going to mention, though, for Oakland, do you want to guess what their team batting average is this season?
It's got to be about 223.
It's 203. Do you want to guess what the on-base percentage is for Oakland's offense?
345.
275. They've been winning games. They can't hit to save their lives. This lineup is absolutely terrible. Just trying to go down the line here. The leading batting average guy is Kyle McCann, who's played 7 games. You have Nevin, who's played 22 games. He's batting .286. Their main everyday starter is Toro, who's played 26 games, got a batting average of .229. This team can hit. I'm not really sure how they're winning games, but the pitching staff's been good. They hit home runs. That's all they do because they don't get on base.
And they've got some beasts at the back end of that bullpen.
I was going to say, Mason Miller, I'm a big fan of. Miller's fantastic. Yeah. So they've been pitching well, but they can't hit. So I would lean to Oakland just based on the price, but I want to point out, though, the offense has been really, really bad.
I love the fact that you go to great lengths to tell us how shit they are and then bet them.
I mean, I'm not going to take Mitch Keller. I've been anti-Mitch Keller for years because his prices are always off because they think that he's good because he's the best pitcher on the Pirates, which means absolutely nothing because the Pirates haven't had great pitchers for like a long time. So I think it's a good price getting Oakland at home, but the bullpen's been solid. The pitching staff's been good. They can't hit. That's kind of my point.
Okay. 9:40 Eastern first pitch. The Cincinnati Reds at the San Diego Padres. Nick Martinez for the Reds. San Diego officially TBD. I believe it is Randy Vasquez. No lines for this one. With no pitcher for the Padres. Scott, do you have much on this?
Yeah, I decided that I was not just going to bet the I was not going to bet the Padres because I can't stand this team. At least I somewhat know what the Reds are. Like, I understand what their identity is. I don't know what the Padres are. Padres are, like, half committed to having high-paid, expensive options on the roster and just not being very good. So, are they just... I mean, I can't even think of a good comp for them because they're not the LA Angels with Trout and Ohtani because they used to actually have winning seasons. But...
Toronto, I can't stand this team. Yeah,
so I'll take the Reds.
Cincinnati, first team to 50 stolen bases, Scott, yesterday. That's a lot. Ellie De La Cruz, I think, did we say Minnesota last week had 6 stolen base attempts on the season so far, and Cincinnati have swiped 50. Ellie De La Cruz has swiped 18 by himself. What? Why Minnesota? Someone tell Minnesota to run. They need it. They can't do anything else.
The problem is they can't, because if Buxton steals a base, he's getting injured.
So one of his limbs will fly clean off if he attempts to steal a base. Both these pitchers aren't very good. Trev reckons we should, I think this is a quite a technical term, fade the piss out of Vasquez. And I'm going to fade the piss out of Martinez as well. I think it'd be an over. There's enough talent in these two lineups to beat up on Martinez and Vasquez. Don't know what the total will be. It'll be high. It'll be 9, maybe. Might be 9.5. But I would look for runs in this one. Next, the penultimate game on the show, 9:40 Eastern first pitch. The Atlanta Braves at the Seattle Mariners. Ronaldo Lopez. For Atlanta, and Luis Castillo is going for Seattle. The Braves are favourites and shorter than I thought, -133 behind Lopez. Seattle at home with Castillo, +105. Looks like an appealing price, Scott, for Seattle with their so-called stud on the mound. But are you into Seattle tomorrow?
It's a bit tricky because Castillo's numbers are not great, but he was god-awful his first couple outings. He's actually been good the last 3 outings. 6 innings, 2 runs against Texas, 2 solo home runs, actually. 7 innings, no runs, only 2 hits against the Rockies. That was in Coors, by the way, but the Rockies are a fake baseball team, so I guess that still counts. And 6 innings, 2 earned against the Cubs, did lose that game 2-1. So Castillo has kind of turned it around. He has actually been pretty good his last 3 outings. The Braves with Ronaldo Lopez, I never thought Lopez was good, but I guess all you have to do is escape the White Sox and you become a good player. So I guess that's the secret to having a second wind in your career. I think I might just lean to a first 5 under here. Seattle offensively has not been very good. They've been better recently, but they strike out so much. They just strike out all the damn time. Castillo's been better recently, so I will give him props there, but I'm going to lean to an under in this one for the first 5. Pitcher's friendly ballpark. The Braves offense has not been great recently. We saw them struggle in that sweep against the Marlins. They didn't look good over the weekend against the Guardians. They won 2 out of 3. They've been winning low-scoring games. So I see a low-scoring game here. I'll go with the under, but first five under. I think Castillo and Ronaldo look pretty decent.
Beans McDouglas in the chat. That's a new name to me. Do we know? Do you know Beans from the NBA show, Scott?
Yeah, I know Beans.
Is Beans Beans or is it good? Trev's put, he's not easy, is he? Is that easy? Is that someone else?
It is what he. No, Trevor said it's an easy fade to Castillo, and I think Castillo's been pretty good.
Because I'm familiar with Easy from his rants on the NFL show with Sean and Ryan. But welcome, Beans. Nice to have you in with us. I thought Atlanta would be a better price. I want to back Atlanta here. But I thought the presence of Castillo on the team sheet would have Atlanta slightly bigger than -133. Ronaldo Lopez being one of the stories of the season, really. And Atlanta have got a really good record without their big names having really clicked. I mean, they're going along okay, but Acuna, Riley, etc. haven't been great. Castillo's been okay, pretty consistent, and he hasn't had much luck. But the Seattle offense is still don't score enough runs. And against the Braves, that's a problem. It doesn't really matter who's pitching. So I'll take Atlanta at -133. I'll maybe shop around and see if I can find a -125 or a -120 if I'm lucky, because I did think they would be a little bit bigger. The last game on the card. Now, I'm seeing a double header here for the Cardinals at the Tigers, which I wasn't seeing before. So I'm guessing today's game has been postponed. You were slated to go tonight for the Cards and the Tigers. It was Stephen Matz against Kenta Maeda. So for the 3:40 Eastern first pitch, so that's the first game tomorrow now. So I do have some days ball now, thanks to this doubleheader. And it's Kyle Gibson for St. Louis against Jack Flaherty for Detroit. -105 for St. Louis, -125 for Detroit. I'm going to demonstrate growth and development here. Scott, you'll like this. Gibson, 2-2, 4.35 ERA. And he's had back-to-back one earned run start. He's gone well. The key to him is not giving up the long ball, even though he's still walking too many batters. His road starts have been worse, which is a slight concern. Jack Flaherty's given good length, but that's about it, really. He's given up a homer in every start. And I rank these teams fairly similarly. I'm out on the Cards. I've said it 1,000 times. It's boring. But the Tigers are pretty... Then they're not a high-octane offense either. I'm not keen on either lineup, so I don't trust them to get us over a total. And my preference is for Gibson over Flaherty. So at this point, I'm going to take the St. Louis Cardinals to win this game at -105, Scott.
Yeah, I agree. Detroit did win the last two games against the Royals, so they finished the weekend pretty well. But they can't hit, just simply put. Now, can the Cardinals hit? Not really. So I guess it's kind of a wash. In fact, Detroit's offense is arguably better than St. Louis's, but that tells you both teams really are not good offensively. St. Louis, though, has won 3 out of 4. They've been okay. They did lose in extras to the Mets. They didn't sweep, but they won 2 out of 3. I do think, though, that Gibson has been better than Flaherty. It is a fun revenge game start for Flaherty, assuming that he's going to actually start game 2 or whenever this game does get played, so you might end up getting pitching switch. We'll see what happens, but I don't like Flaherty. I haven't liked him for years. Yeah. He got injured all the time. I was fading him. His command always was an issue. And now he's giving up home runs. So I think Gibson's in better form. The Cardinals, I thought, looked decent over the weekend, though. So I'll go with the Cardinals to get it done. I think that the Cardinals might get a good price here on the road. But, yeah, once again, could be a tricky game because both teams aren't very good. So we might be wrong on this one. Once again, wait to see what the pitching matchup's going to be, because with the doubleheader, you might move one of the pitchers to the early game and then one to the later game, and you might get a mixed match. So for assuming it's going to be Gibson versus Flaherty, I'll fade Flaherty. I'm not going to bet it, though.
Yeah, it's an awkward situation with that doubleheader. But yeah, fade Flaherty was my initial reaction, really. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, 15 games in the book. Scott, do you have a lock and dog loaded and ready to go?
Sure. So for my lock on the show, there were a couple of things I actually did like on the card. What I want to go with, thought about first five under maybe in that Royals game, potentially as a lock, but I'm not sure if I actually want it or not. You know what? No, I'll go with the Phillies.
That's what you were going to say then.
You know, that's why it pays to go first. But I'm going to go with the Phillies here. At the end of the day, I think that this team, the Angels I'm talking about, are definitely too bad to be this short on the money line. Anderson, I said it before, has like a 1.78 ERA, and he's 2-3. Like, they don't win his starts even when he's good. So they've lost like 9 of 10. They're abysmal in every area. And Turnbull's been solid. And the Phillies, you just said, set the franchise record for most wins in April. So give me the Phillies in good form. Offensively, they've looked good recently. So, yeah, give me the Phillies money line. I see a minus 130 on FanDuel. So give me the Phillies money line at minus 130 as my lock. For my dog, I got a couple of choices I could go with. But I think for this one, I am going to go with what do I want to go with? Do I actually want Oakland? I can't read off those batting stats and pick them. Give me the Cubs at plus 115. I think the Cubs are just a better team than the Mets. I understand the Mets had a solid run for a week or two to get back to around 500 after such a bad start. They didn't look good against the Cardinals. I don't think they're still a good baseball team. Lindor's been better recently, but not great. It just feels like the Mets are getting contributions from a bunch of relative unknowns. Bader's been okay for them recently, but it's kind of smoke and mirrors. I think the Cubs are actually a good baseball team, and I think Assad and Manaea are pretty close together. Give me the Cubs, though. I think the Cubs are a better team. I know they got killed by the Red Sox pitching-wise over the weekend, but I do like the price. So give me the Cubs at plus 115.
Okay, thank you. My lock would absolutely be the Phillies, Scott. That is one of the advantages of going first. I'll go with a total over 9 in that Cleveland at Houston game. I think the Houston offense will, that little trip to Mexico and scoring those runs will have worked wonders for them, and they can absolutely get to Carrasco. And Hunter Brown has been stinking the joint out. Cleveland have been good. So we'll see lots of runs in here. I'll take an over 9 there. And for my dog, I haven't seen the prices, but Colorado are going to be a dog. I know you said it was the worst game on the card. Against Miami.
I believe I said if you bet the game, you should go to a meeting. So you might have to, you know, get some coffee ready at the meeting.
Yeah, well, I'll buy the coffees with my winnings, Scott, okay, when I get to the meeting. Coffees all around, donuts for all.
You're not going to buy coffees. You're going to invest in future bets for the World Series and the NL.
Miami, you never win. Sixto Sanchez, just having fun, getting a bit fatter. Yeah, I mean, take Colorado. It sounds madness, but there'll be a good price. There'll be, I think there'll be about plus 130 or thereabouts. So, yeah, I'll take Colorado. It's a bit of a punt. And we did it, Scott. Anything else you would like to tell the people before we go? I'll tell you what you can tell me about. Champions League tomorrow night. Have you had a little look at those games?
Oh, I'm still mourning the loss of Man City after not allowing a shot in the last, like, 100 minutes of the game, but of the match. But, I mean, for Champions League, PSG can't defend anybody, so I don't mind overs in their games. Even though Mbappe and the manager and the overall club hate each other, Mbappe still puts up numbers. But I do think that will probably be an over in that PSG match. I think you agree. Both teams a score over 2.5, pretty standard in that one with Dortmund. But at the end of the day, with Dortmund. But for the other one, Bayern and Real, they're just a really good match.
Like, it is a good game.
It's a really, really good match. I think for that one, it kind of screams draw to me. Real just invent ways to, like, stall in opposing stadiums, and they just invent ways to keep games extremely cagey when they need to, or they could explode. And Bayern wants games to explode, so maybe you end up seeing Real try to steal something, maybe trying to steal a draw or a one-goal deficit and go back to Spain and try to potentially take it. Oh, boy. Is that like a standard 1-1? Is that Mal's 1-1 of the week? I don't know.
It could actually be. I took Munich, but it wasn't a strong field. Real Madrid didn't have a shot on target after the 11th minute in that Manchester City game.
They parked the bus. They just decided we're going to try to go all out.
My main lead was, and you got halfway there, Scott, was the PSG team total against Dortmund, over 1.5. I think they can get a couple of goals in Germany on Wednesday night.
Dortmund actually scored a decent amount against Atletico, so I think offensively they can score against PSG.
Yeah.
So I don't mind the over on that one, both teams to score, but that Real match, it's tough to find an angle because you have so much talent on the pitch. You might get a bunch of goals, which could happen, or maybe Real tries to be defensive. I mean, Bayern was good defensively against Arsenal, so maybe they have a gear defensively that people don't realize. But I don't know. I maybe wouldn't mind the draw. Bayern needs to win because it's in Germany, and it's going to be tough to go back to Spain if you're tied or down on aggregate, even though away goals don't count anymore. So I don't know if that actually matters as much. But the point is, I'll lean to a draw in that Madrid game. But I do think my favorite play is going to be a high-scoring game in the PSG match.
Probably annoyed everybody listening there who doesn't give a shit about the football.
You brought it up, so I was going to give you my answers. I'm still waiting for my invite on the Premier League.
This was just a personal
still waiting for my invite.
We'll get you on, Scott. All the picks for the Champions League, Europa League and Europa Conference League are on the Premier League Gambling Podcast. Go and find that when you've done that. Right, thank you very much. Thanks everyone who joined us in the chat, from Beans and Josh all the way up to Trev at the top of the show, Will Burns and Lube Gaming and Jake were in there. Matty DM was in earlier on, and Joe Hall. We appreciate it. It makes the show a gazillion times better. Back tomorrow night, not me, but some iteration of our host. So good luck with your picks. And until next time, we will see you down the road. Cheers.